Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship this morning. For some of you, this looks a little bit different this morning, doesn't it? Am I handsomer when you get this much closer to me? Thank you for those who sit on the outboards here for moving to the center. We're just a few of the elders are away, and so for serving communion, if we just have to worry about a couple of aisles, it gets a little bit easier. So we're grateful for your acquiescence to our needs this morning. It is nice when you're all together, though, I gotta say. It feels fuller. So maybe we can think about sticking to this. I know there are memories of people past that we sit with when we go to those cherished spots that we've sat with in all of our lives. And a welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream this morning. It is our pleasure that you gather with us and share in this service of worship. As part of worship this morning, we will be celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion. And as we kind of started doing during the time of COVID, we invite those who are with us on the live stream to join with us in the sacrament. So if you want to go off quickly and find a rice cracker or a morsel of bread that you might participate in, some grape juice, or I have people who prefer communion on the live stream because their wine is better. Wine, you may have it before lunch this morning, or even apple juice if that is all that you have. All will suffice and all are welcome. The announcements have been before you on the screens as we have been gathering this morning, and I hope you've had the opportunity to take note of those which are of most importance to you. We're renewing our focus for giving during the month of October, and our gifts are going to Center 105, and there's information about that in the bulletin for you to kind of focus your giving, your extra giving for the next month. And also in your bulletin this morning is our information card. Every year we seem to have to send out the information card because invariably somebody's cell phone changes, or Laura fills up one email address and she goes and gets a new one. There are all kinds of reasons that people have changes to their information, but it's helpful to us if you would just take a moment and think back to this time last year and whether or not anything has changed in your life. If nothing has changed, don't worry about filling out the form, but the form is there for all, just as a friendly reminder that if you can keep us up to date with your information, we will be most grateful. And as we enter into God's presence this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in the light of his love. This morning's call to worship is, as is our custom, a responsive call, and it will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Incline your ear to God.
We hope to hear good news.
Listen so that you may live.
We hope to have enough to share.
Imagine together. We imagine enough at every table. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Generous God, as we gather together in worship, we celebrate our different experiences and walks of life. Some of us have known hunger and scarcity. Some of us are too well fed. Yet all are welcomed at your heavenly banquet. We celebrate that at your table we become one body in Jesus Christ. And we pray that your Spirit would connect us to one another so that our hearts and minds may be open to your calling. We pray all of these things in and through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's opening hymn is number 651 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear before you on the screens. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, hymn 651. Please be seated. The promise of our faith is this: for all who call out in truth, God is near to them. Therefore, let us honestly confess our sins and call out to God for forgiveness as we say together the prayer of confession as it appears before you on the screens. Let us pray. Holy Creator and source of life, we find it hard to believe that you have given us all that we need. Fear of scarcity rules our hearts and constricts our imagination. Show us that there really is enough for every table. Help us to trust in the goodness of your creation so that we may share in stewardship of all that you have made. Amen. The prophet Isaiah writes, "See, I will make with you an everlasting covenant." An everlasting covenant. That means nothing can break it. We can run to God's feast without paying. We can be who we are without hiding. We can begin again without shame. For God has promised that nothing can separate us from God's love, made known to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our next hymn is not in your Book of Praise, but it is on the screens. The Lord is my shepherd. It should sound, it's not the Lord is your shepherd that you're thinking about, but it should sound familiar. My shepherd, I'll walk with him always. He leads me by still waters, I'll walk with him always.
Always, always, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. He leads me by still waters, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always.
Simple, right? Very easy. You know it. You can sing it almost without being with the other half of the congregation, which is good, because we're going to now sing it as a round. So this side will start with me, and we will sing it through. When this side gets to, or sorry, when we get to always, always, I'll walk with you always, that last two lines that repeats, you and Olivia will start where we've left off. We're going to sing it through three times.
The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. He leads me by still waters, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. He leads me by still waters, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. He leads me by still waters, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always.
Always, always, I'll walk with him always.
Always, always, I'll walk with him always.
And you may be seated. Sounded wonderful, by the way, everybody. So very good. I don't have any young people to come forward this morning, but we'll talk, share what we had to say anyway. This morning we celebrate communion here at St. John's, but it's not just us here at St. John's who celebrates the sacrament of communion today. Today is World Communion Sunday. It's been in existence for just over 100 years. It was started in the 1920s by a minister in our sister denomination in the United States. It wasn't the PCUSA at the time, but they claim him as his own now. But it was started by a Presbyterian minister who believed that we as the people of God should be fostering connections broader than just congregations, but throughout our towns and cities and around the world. For we are all united as one in our faith in Jesus Christ. And so this morning we celebrate the sacrament here. And as we do so, we know that in Cameroon and in Korea and in Nigeria and places all around the world, people will be celebrating the sacrament today too. And so we are uniting with them. Every time when we say communion, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, But as we celebrate communion and we invite people to come, we invite them to come not to this table, physical, but we invite them to Christ's table in heaven, which transcends all time and space, and of which this table is but a part. And as a result, we acknowledge all at all times that we are only celebrating a part of the sacrament with those others who also celebrate across all time and space. But today especially, we remember our brothers and sisters and churches around the world who will gather today, who will gather today and will celebrate God's sacrament. So let us remember all of the worldwide church as we come to today's table. And maybe this is a good time, because I forgot to do it during the announcement. Brenda changed my mind. We're not going to come forward for the sacrament this morning. There are enough elders that we can serve the center sections, and so that's what we're doing this morning. So you don't have, for those who got the email that said you were coming forward and you were stressing out about that reality, we're going to leave you where you are. It'll be a traditional service. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of provision, by your Holy Spirit, you feed us with your word, that we might be filled with the bread of life. Give us ears to hear and hearts to accept your word this day. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 5. Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Now you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. The responsive reading is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. He leads me in right's path for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. The epistle reading is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place, and he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
Once more, let us come in praise as we sing the hymn, You Thirsty Ones, hymn 90 in the Book of Praise. Sorry, 190 in the Book of Praise. Interesting. We will this morning be speaking about the economy of the kingdom of God as opposed to the economy of empire. And in the interests of economy, there's a little bit of shrinkflation in this hymn. I don't know if you noticed it. I'm sure you did. We're used to a half note halfway through the hymn, and the book only gives us a quarter note. So if you were wondering why we all wanted to stop halfway through, Olivia, that's why. Friends, as we turn to Scripture once more, let us listen for God's word as it is given to us in John chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city named Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples, you see, had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria. For Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well with his sons and his flocks to drink from it? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, how about those Blue Jays, eh? Yesterday was a pretty impressive start to their postseason run for this year, wasn't it? I was watching the ball game on TV, and I can't remember exactly what it is, but the sportscasters on TSN, there's some sort of prize of some sort, and if the Blue Jays scored 9 runs in a game, some business was sponsoring something. I forget all the details. Because when I heard the details, I thought, 9 runs in a game in the World Series. Who's going to do that? 10-1. That's not too bad. This might be the year, right? Certainly, if you are a baseball fan, and I see from nods and smiles, there are at least a couple out there. Some aren't cheering for the Blue Jays, but that's okay, Chuck. But if you are a baseball fan and you are following the World Series, you will be following the World Series. And for many baseball fans, going to an actual game is a really big deal, right? Especially if you're from Cornwall, because it means you've gone somewhere else. You've planned ahead. You've bought the tickets, and you're all set. And if you've ever been at a baseball game, I've got nobody standing at the microphone control. So I was going to ask them to turn me down for a minute. I just better behave myself. If you've ever gone out to a game, then you'll be familiar with this call. Hot dogs, get your hot dogs here. Hot dogs, or beer, or peanuts, are all hawked by vendors who are wandering up and down the aisles through the stands with a tray of food around their neck, wanting to serve you. And you would be forgiven this morning if, as you were listening to the reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, you thought that Isaiah was perhaps at a baseball game. As he was writing these opening words of what we have heard this morning from Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, you who thirst, get your water, ice cold water here. Because that's exactly what's going on in the story. The Old Testament theologian Walter Brueggemann posits that these opening words that we hear in Isaiah chapter 55, would have been familiar to the original hearers of this text way back in the 6th century before Christ. They would have recognized them as the barking of street vendors in the marketplace who are trying to be recognized amid all of the turmoil and all of the chaos that's part of the marketplace. To get your attention, they would have said, "Ho, you who want water, come here, drink. Be thirsty no more." They would have been just like those vendors at a baseball game. Get your hot dog here. But that common opening call that we hear as we turn to Isaiah this morning quickly changes. It changes, doesn't it, from that eager shopkeeper who wants to sell you his wares to something far more significant. Listen to the words. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. Come, you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not food, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" We have arrived at the turning point in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It is that turning point in Isaiah's account of the exile where the children of God who have been removed from their home and their land for all these centuries are offered return. But before they can move their feet along that long road home, they must first have their hearts moved that they might see something better. The time of the exile, you see, well, it seemed like an eternity. For the northern kingdom, it lasted for some 200 years. And even for Isaiah's audience, who were citizens of the southern kingdom, they had been in Babylon for several generations, 100 years. And as you might expect, over that time, some of the people had grown quite accustomed to living in this strange land. Indeed, for them, this land wasn't strange at all. It was the only land that they had ever known. And the life that they lived was the only life that they had ever known. As a result, some had married into the natives of the city of Babylon and had become part of families there. Some had actually accommodated themselves to their customs and ways. They were more Babylonian than they were Jewish at this point. They had been here for so long that they could not imagine leaving Babylon. The empire was their home. Imagine. But Brueggemann notes in his volume on Isaiah 40 to 46 in the Westminster Bible Companion series, he notes that empire always comes with a cost. In the circumstances in which they were living in Babylon, they were so reminiscent of another time when Israel lived in a foreign land. They were reminiscent of the days of Joseph and Joseph's descendants living under Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, forced to work in increasingly more difficult circumstances. And so too here, Israel in Babylon is forced to pay exorbitant prices for food that does not satisfy, for water that does not quench the basic human longing to live in communion with God. And here, in chapter 55, God holds out to them a different alternative. freedom. Freedom from Babylonian captivity. Food and water without price. Free. And the land that was given to their ancestors. A gift. God holds out to the children of God the prospect of a new covenant, a new relationship with their God. But first they must free their minds from the exploitative mindset that holds them captive. The mindset that empire is sufficient. God challenges the hearers of these texts this morning with nothing less than a new way of living. Both those who heard it in the 6th century BCE as exile and those who hear it in the 21st century as seekers of faith, you and I. It seems, you know, that once every generation or so, we are called upon to learn the lessons of empire once more. It takes us time to forget the lesson from the past. So it takes about a generation of until all those who had learned the lesson are with us no more. It is the lesson that economic catastrophes and uncertainties raise their beastly heads, causing worry and grief. And it's not just today, or 20 years ago, or 40 years ago, or you just keep rolling back generation after generation after generation. When we started ministry in Saskatchewan, too long ago to mention, but about 35 years, 36, I guess, many people in Saskatchewan at that time were still remembering. Anybody remember 25% interest rate on your GICs in the bank? Yeah? It was wonderful if you were buying a GIC. It was deadly if you were buying a farm in the prairies. So many remembered those days and the exorbitant interest of 25% on a loan for a farm and losing the farm. Go back a little bit further, and every now and then it pops up in our news feeds these days. Somebody compares things back to the 70s, right? In the time of the early 70s and the gas shortages and all of the inflationary pressures that were part of that existence, if you can remember it. I have faint recollections of that time. And then you go back, and then you go back. Time and again, the catastrophe comes around, and we are forced to learn the lessons again. Here today, we hear time and again that the demand at food banks has never been greater than it is right now. That more and more people are living precariously, and that tent cities are popping up in every town and city that exists. And the best the political leaders seem to be able to do is pass laws to make sleeping outside illegal. To pull tents down and to hope they'll go somewhere else. And yet we all know that passing a law that makes it sleeping outside illegal is not the solution to the problem that these people face. No one reduces their life to a tent and a hold-all on purpose. It is not the definition of Freedom 55 that anyone imagined. But Babylon's life never yields abundance or joy. And we too often acknowledge the problem, but only as it affects us. When the city of Cornwall proposed repurposing the old school building on Cumberland Street, my memory didn't work this week. I couldn't remember which school it was, but you all know the building. To introduce supports for people who are living on the bubble in our community, too many people appeared at community meetings only to articulate how such a project might affect them. Property values might go down if we had all of those people around. And they could not imagine the new life that this opportunity would hold out to others. What are our alternatives, is the question. Now, more than it has been in the last several decades, the life of the world around us demands many things. It demands first solidarity with those who we've just mentioned and many, many others. People who live in dire and desperate need, to recognize their need and to be able to, dirty word, I know, but I'm going to use it anyway, empathize with it. If you don't like the word empathize, try this one, because this is one that your grandmother would approve. There, but for the grace of God, go I. See, generations past had empathy too. There, but for the grace of God, go I. So we must first acknowledge those who live in our midst who do not enjoy the same things that we do and who struggle each day just to make it through another one. The empire in which we live demands our advocacy. Just as God advocates to the people of God in this passage this morning, trying to move them into a place where they can become able to address the circumstances in which they live in a new way and to find hope and freedom and joy outside of empire. So that demands of us that we will likewise advocate for others, that they might find that same hope, that same joy that Scripture speaks of. It is that age-old stuff, not just sitting around the supper table and complaining about how bad things are, but putting pen to paper and writing your MP or your MLA or your city councilor or the mayor, or putting a letter in the newspaper to raise public sentiment towards these issues, that people will know that it's not just them sitting at their kitchen table going, this is not right, but that there are others and that together we can move mountains. I'm mindful of the fact that getting ready to come up here this morning, I put on my father-in-law's preaching gown. I didn't need another preaching gown when my father-in-law was divesting himself of stuff, but I was the only person who would take it. So it went into frequent rotation. I rotate through gowns, and this is one of the ones that I wear. It comes because Dick gave it to me. My father-in-law was a letter writer to the Winnipeg Free Press. When he was angry about something that was happening in the city, he would go up to his office and he would sit down at his typewriter and you would hear him click, 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 writing the letter to the Free Press about poverty or the plight of immigrants or whatever it was that was the issue of the day. We need to become more like that. And finally, where we live today demands of us our generosity. our grandmothers were right. There, but for the grace of God, go I. We have been blessed with so many things that we have not earned, but that God has blessed us with. And that enables us, as people of faith, to be generous with others, to give to community groups and organizations. Center 105 is our focus this month. Last week seems so far away. Who was last month? It was Baldwin House last month and the food bank the week before, right? We support these agencies because we know that the work they do is vital for other people. Others who do not have the same blessings that we do, in hopes that they will see God's blessing in what we do. We fill the holes where we can, and we support the church. We support the church for this one reason. Where else does 100 people get together any time in a week and hear what I've just said? Nowhere. The church speaks into the vacuum of power with the word of God and the compassion of God to move us to be God's people in the world and to challenge the world to change to be more like the kingdom of God. And we do that through the message. We do that through the use of our buildings by community groups and organizations who can't pay to be here because they have just as little as the rest of us do, but who share with us in a common goal to give back joy and hope to a people who live in an empire who draws all that away. There are few places in our society that will challenge Babylon's power. But we are called as people of faith to hold out a vision of a better way where all are honored and respected and lifted up. Why do we do it? We do it that all may come. I don't know if you noticed, but in that first verse, verses of Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah uses the word come three times. Ho, you who are thirsty, come and drink. Come, buy food and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money or without price. Come and know the goodness of God. That is God's invitation to all who are in need. And whether we like to admit it or not, that includes us. God invites us to come, to receive the blessings that God gives to us, to feast at his table, and to care for the world. And in all those things, let us give thanks to God, who blesses us more abundantly than we deserve or than we can even ask. And in all things, give thanks to God. Amen. We are committed to God's truth that there is enough food for every mouth, enough pillows for every head, enough love for every heart. Let us share what we have to bring God's vision to life as we present our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Loving God, we offer these gifts with such a sense of gratitude and blessing. We are overflowing with all you provide. Bless what we have shared this day, so that we may continue to imagine together your kingdom coming among us. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. It is our pleasure this morning to be able to receive new members into the fellowship of our community of faith. And so at this point, I'm going to invite Darlene Cowan and Catherine Wongi, Anita Mack, Bob Martin, and Walter Bobesiuk to come forward. One, two, three, four, five. I've got everybody.
Walter Bobesiuk, Darlene Cowan, Anita Mack, Bob Martin, and Catherine Wongi. You have been received into the membership of this congregation by letter of commendation from another Christian church or by reaffirmation of your faith in Jesus Christ.
Friends, as members of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, you do not come to us as strangers, but as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We welcome you to the worship and work of this people of God. There is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all who is above all and through all and in all. Do you promise to be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and so fulfill your calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ in the world? Let us affirm our faith together, and I would invite the congregation to stand that we might say together the Apostles' Creed. The Creed is found on page 539 in the Book of Praise, or it will appear before you on the screens. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and I, Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And the congregation may be seated. Together, let us pray. And the words for this prayer will appear on the screen. I think. Nope, no joy. Okay, I will say the prayer myself. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you for choosing to add to our number these our brothers and sisters in faith. Together, may we live in your spirit and so love one another that we may have the mind of Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory, now and forevermore. Amen. And I would invite the elders of the congregation, well, they don't have to come forward because they're already here, but to extend the right hand of fellowship. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome, Bob. Welcome, Catherine. Welcome, Darlene. Welcome into this ministry of Jesus Christ here in this place. Go now and serve the Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you this day and forevermore. Amen. And with that, I would invite you to return to your seats. Our communion hymn is number 534 in the Book of Praise. All who hunger, gather gladly. Number 534, or as it will appear before you on the screens.
Thank you.
before Jesus shared the last meal with his disciples and friends, Isaiah had already proclaimed God's welcome to the feast. Our faith already had known overwhelming abundance and hospitality, but we so easily forget. We worry that we don't deserve God's goodness. We think that we have to be more perfect or more faithful to be welcomed at Christ's table. But that is not what God wants for us. God wants us to imagine enough at every table, starting with this one. So come to this table. Come to this table, no matter who you are or where you come from, or what journey has led you to this moment. Come to this table celebrating your background, celebrating your age and place in life, celebrating your uniqueness. There is no entry fee. There is no cost or price. There is no limit to the places that are set at this table. Come to this table bringing all that you are, because God's covenant of love is everlasting, unbreakable, and true. This is Christ's table, and he has invited you. We turn now to the great prayer of thanksgiving. For those who wish to follow along, there are responses throughout the prayer, and they will be on the screen at the appropriate times. Or you may follow along at page 564 in your book of praise. We begin responsively. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, for you have made an everlasting covenant with us, the promise of your faithfulness and steadfast love for all eternity. Even when we struggle against you, you never let us go. Therefore, we give you our praise, joining the song of the universal church and the heavenly choir as we say together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You sent Jesus to show the abundance of your love. With 5 loaves and 2 fish, he fed a multitude, proving that there is indeed enough to share in the kingdom of God. Jesus continues to feed his church with the extravagances of his grace. Therefore, remembering your goodness and grace, we offer ourselves to you as we share this joyful feast, and we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, O God. Make us one in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. As you love and bless your chosen people, let your church be a sign of Christ's blessing and love, calling all people into your gracious covenant. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Spirit, we bless you, O God of glory, now and forevermore. Amen. And as our Lord has taught us, even so we are eager to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he blessed it and broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you." In the same manner also, Christ took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Because there is one loaf, we, many as we are one body, for it is one loaf of which we partake. When we break this bread, is it not a sharing of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ? And when we give thanks over the cup, is it not a sharing of the blood of Christ? These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Broken for you. Thank you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Nourishing God, we thank you for inviting us to your table where all are welcome, and for feeding us with the bread of life and the cup of blessing. As you have filled our lives with love and joy, may we be a source of your love and hope for all those who hunger for your good news. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning's closing hymn is number 699 in the Book of Praise, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, number 699. Now let us go out into the world in joy and come back in peace, celebrating the gifts of God with the mountains and the hills. And as all of God's creation celebrates, may we too add our faith in God's abundant love and joy. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.